Believe. Is that something that comes easy to human beings? Trust. Is that something that just naturally oozes out of every human being? When you meet that person, you say, hi. It doesn't come naturally to us. In fact, with all the things that we hear on the news, with all the things that are happening, not just in Syria, in North Korea, not just in these countries that we hear about on the news, but things that are happening locally in Fallbrook, Temecula, San Diego, it seems harder and harder for us human beings to trust or believe anyone. Everyone today is an expert, yes? And they will tell you what you need to do. But the reality is that sometimes these many voices have as many different ideas as to what we should all do. But I want to praise God for His word. Amen? Amen. It's been constant. It's been consistent for over 3,000 years. And it's given us human beings a place where we can put our faith in. It hasn't changed. Amen? It's the same message from beginning to end. Believe is the message. Trust God. Trust His word. As you heard, for some of you who were here last week, we heard the last words of Jesus to His disciples, telling them, love one another. And how do we show this love? By serving one another. And Jesus felt that this was an important message to give to the disciples right before Him dying on the cross. But then as we go to John 14, He also tells them, believe, trust God, and trust Me. Is it important to believe, brothers and sisters? It's important. And I want to show you a text to you found in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 29 through 33. Deuteronomy, chapter 1, that's the fifth book from the beginning. Deuteronomy, chapter 1. And I'll give you a little bit of context. 12 spies had gone before the children of Israel to spy out the land, to see what is it that they needed to do, the way that they should go. All 12 came back. 10 of them came back with a negative report. The people are giants. The city walls are, they reach the sky. They're more numerous than we are. We have no chance before them. And the heart of the people melted and they were afraid. And if there's something that doesn't get along, our fear or being afraid and faith, they're mutually exclusive. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If we trust, we can't be afraid. They just don't go together. And Deuteronomy chapter 1, 29 gives us the message that Moses tried to share with the people of Israel right before they were to enter the promised land. For so many years, they had heard this promise that God had a place for them, a place where there was milk and honey, basically. It is a beautiful land that produced all sorts of things, and they would live there. It was something that their fathers had been promised. And now the children of Israel had the opportunity to enter this land. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29, this is what Moses shared with the people. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Amen? Does that sound like John 14? Do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, He will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. In all the way that you went until you came to this place. In other words, Moses is telling the people of Israel, don't be afraid. Yes, the report is a pretty bad report. The city walls are high, not as high as the sky, but they are high. The people are strong and mighty and numerous, but nothing to worry. God has gone before you. Can we say amen to that? God has gone before you. He has scouted the land for you. He knows the dangers that are ahead of us. Amen? He does. So don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Look how he delivered you from Egypt. Was God powerful then? Amen. Is he powerful today? Amen. Same God. Same God. And he said to them, look how he took you through the wilderness. And that caught my attention. Moses said, God carried you. He lifted you up in his arms as a man, as a father carries his son. Praise the Lord. He's willing to carry us when we can't walk anymore. When we feel like we've done everything and there's no solution to this situation that I'm facing, God comes by us and he carries us in his arms and tells us, don't be afraid. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. It continues here saying, yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go. And this is something that also caught my attention. In the fire by night and in the cloud by day. God was present by night as this pillar of fire that it would illumine the way. Imagine having that kind of illumination. This big pillar of fire that didn't only just give light, but probably was warm too in the desert cold nights. And then during the day, this beautiful white cloud that would cover them so that they would not get sunburned, so that they would not overheat. God was with them every day. And Moses was encouraging the people, believe, trust, do not be afraid. And I believe this is the same message that we find in John 14. The last words Jesus shared with his disciples. Words that I believe are important not just to read and to understand, but to put into practice. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to John chapter 14. We'll start there with verse 1. Verses that we've heard before, that we know well, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. In Spanish it goes, no se turbe vuestro corazón. Believe in God, believe also in me. Creéis en Dios, creed también en mí. Why should we believe Jesus? He said this 2,000 years ago. Haven't things changed in our world? Hey, look at the things we drive, the things we fly, the gadgets we have in our pocket. Things have changed a lot since Jesus shared these words. And in fact, we can say our world, has it become safer or more dangerous? It's become more dangerous. Somebody in North Korea can press a button and then send something out. Might miss us, but might hit someone else. Dangerous world that we live in. But praise God for these words. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Why? Why does Jesus say we can trust him, we can believe him? And if you keep reading verses 2 and 3, he tells us why. He says, because I said so. Amen? I've said these things. Does Jesus lie? No guile was found in his mouth. Does God keep his word? Praise God, he keeps his word. And he's telling his disciples, I've said so. I've lived with you 3.5 years. And I don't know about you, but I trust people I know. I trust people that I've seen them prove themselves in what they say and what they do. Not just with what they say, but what they say and what they do. And if there's consistency, I can say, hey, I can trust this person. This person keeps his word. But even more, we trust people not only that say and do, but people that love us. Amen? And for those of us who have our parents with us, for those of us who have good friends, for those of us who have family members that we've known for years and years, we trust them because we've seen them love us unconditionally. Amen? Does Jesus love us unconditionally? He proved it, brothers and sisters. He went to the cross while we were yet his enemies. Wow. Rarely does a man die for a just man in his place. Yet Jesus showed his love toward us in that he gave himself while we were yet sinners. Praise God. We can trust him. We can trust his word because Jesus is the one saying these things. Jesus tells us that he is the way. And I know that today there are many ways out there that are being proposed, telling us that we should go here or there. But Jesus is the way, and all of us are invited to follow him. He wants to be our guide, amen? He wants to show us, hey, this is better for you, and not just for you, but for your loved ones, for your family members. This is the way to go. And for those of us who've tried the ways of the world, have we found any peace there? Have we found any comfort in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of the world? We haven't. We found emptiness. We found shame. We found stress. We found trials and challenges. Jesus says, follow me. Trust me. I am the way to the Father. Amen? Jesus says also in these verses that he is the truth. And if there's ever a time when we need the truth, it is today. He tells us he is faithful. He tells us he is honest. He tells us he's transparent. He is clear. He's simple. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. He says to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, will be hard. There will be challenges. But he does promise to get us home. Amen? He promises us, you will be home. It might not always be the way we want to go. That's where it gets difficult. Sometimes we tend to trust ourselves. We tend to trust that we know better. Have you ever been wrong? I've been wrong many, 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 many times. Praise God, Jesus has never been wrong. He's always been right. Are you sure, Jesus, you want me to go this way? It looks dangerous. My friends might not talk to me. I might get fired from work. People might think I'm weird. And Jesus says, that's okay. It's all right. I have a plan, and it's going to work. Trust me, it's going to work. Jesus tells us he is life. And if you want to experience life to the fullest, without any regrets, the invitation is to trust God and to trust Jesus. I look at my own family, those who've decided to trust Jesus and those who've decided not to trust Jesus and go their own way. And at the beginning, everything looks the same. They're working, they're prospering, buying a home, buying a car. Looks like, hey, things are okay. But after time, you start seeing a difference. They have these things, but they're not happy. They have these things, but they're stressed. They have these things, but they are struggling. We can only find life, true life, in Jesus. And Jesus says, trust me. You might not be the wealthiest or most successful in this world, but you will be content. You will be happy. Having Jesus is having peace. And can we put a price on peace, brothers and sisters? We can't put a price. Gazillions and gazillions. We have hope. We have something to look forward to. Instead of nothing when we come to the end of the road. I know death is not something that we like to talk about as human beings, but it's real. You and I, with time, if Jesus doesn't come back before, we will die. But praise God, Jesus is life. Amen? And he's promised that if we trust in him, he will give us life and life eternal. You go with me to your Bible text there in John chapter 14. There's one more reason that I believe that Jesus said we should trust him. And I want to go to verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long? And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me, he says, that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus says, basically, I am not the only one saying this. My Father says this in his word. Amen? When you have someone tell you something, a physician, and you have another physician, and they don't know each other, tell you the same thing, should we pay attention? We should pay attention. When you have mom tell you something, and dad agrees and says yes, should we pay attention? We should pay attention. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm not the only one saying this, but my Father says it too. He's saying it. So trust him. Trust me. We want the best for you. And he goes on by saying, if you don't want to trust what he says or trust what I say, believe us because of the works that we do. Amen? You know a tree by its fruits. It's a good tree. The fruit tastes well, tastes awesome. And Jesus is saying, trust me because of the works that I have done. Did Jesus do works of compassion, brothers and sisters? Will he have compassion of us today? He will. Did he do works of love? He will love us today. So how do we show that we trust somebody? And in this case, how do we show that we trust God, that we trust Jesus, that we trust his word? Is there a way of knowing? Praise God for his word. Amen? And John shares with us here the words of Jesus to them, saying, this is how you show that you trust me. This is how you show that you believe in my words. And verse 12 is the answer here. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, what, brothers and sisters? He will do also. And first, impossible, Pastor Sam. There's no way we can do the things Jesus did. Is it impossible? The Bible tells us that for God, nothing is impossible. Can you imagine a church that does the works of Jesus? How exciting! Would people be talking about it in Fallbrook? Would people be saying something about it in Temecula? Would people be talking about it in California? Would people be talking about it in the United States? Hey, there's a church in Rainbow, California. Where's Rainbow? That does the works of Jesus. They love one another. They serve one another. They're not afraid. In fact, many of them have been fired from their jobs because they want to be true to God before being true to anyone else. People say nasty things about them, but they do nice things back to them. They look like Jesus, the Jesus in the Bible. And Jesus told his disciples, greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything, if we ask what, brothers and sisters? anything in my name. In other words, according to my will. That reflects God's amazing character. Jesus says, I will do it. People who believe pray. They take time to pray. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, I am not taking that much time to pray. I should be praying more. Wouldn't you say so? We should be praying more. Yes? I mean, the news is pretty intense out there. We're going to be looking for a new associate pastor. Should we be praying more? Amen. Amen. Are we facing personal challenges? Then why not pray? Why not ask God? We might think, but Pastor, I've been praying about this for such a long time and no response. It's true. Sometimes God takes time, yes? He takes his time, and it seems super long for us who are like wanting it right now. But you know what? Sometimes he answers right away. Can I give you an example? This is pretty exciting. Last week, we're here at fellowship lunch. How many of you were here last week for fellowship lunch? I don't see anybody here who was at fellowship. So this is going to be news to you. After our fellowship lunch, we ate, we're talking, everybody's just relaxing. Tables inside, tables outside. It was much cooler than today. And the kids were running around the front here, having a great time with each other. And all of a sudden, they start coming back and making sure us adults are aware because we were distracted with our own conversation. So they come up to us and go, hey, do you smell this? Yeah, it smells. Do you see that? Yes, we see that. There's this pillar of smoke. And do you feel that? Yes, we feel it. The wind was blowing our way, brothers and sisters. And it was picking up. And so one of our members calls the fire department. They said, yes, somebody already called. So we're thinking, why aren't you here then? You're right here in Rainbow. Come quickly. And it was getting stronger and stronger. You can hear that crackling, you could see. And it was just above the strawberry patch there. It was burning. And the smoke was going up faster and faster. And so we decided, let's start picking up our chairs and everything and get ready to evacuate. So everybody started to bring in the chairs, the tables. But praise God for a group that we have who meets here every day, every first, second, third Sabbath, after our fellowship lunch, right behind this room. And it's our famous prayer ministry. Amen. And they asked, Pastor, should we prepare to leave? And I said, yes, we should prepare to leave. Just, you know, because it looks like it's out of control. And I don't see any fire trucks, and I don't see anybody yet in sight. And they said, we're going to pray. And they got together, and they prayed. The wind died down. Amen? That was the first answer right there. Then we saw one fire truck, two fire trucks, three fire trucks, four fire trucks, five. I think 20 fire trucks showed up all of a sudden. We saw a fire helicopter go. We saw a plane ready to drop fire repellent on top of the strawberry patch if needed. And then we saw them all start to leave one by one. 2 acres burnt just here across the street from us. And I believe it was the power of prayer members who are praying for you, that are praying for me, that are praying for us, brothers and sisters. And we don't have to wait for them to pray for us. We can pray too, amen? We can bring our petitions before God. And I saw him answer them. I saw it. They saw it. They said, Pastor, this was not coincidence. God made the wind to die down because it was blowing hard. It was nice and breezy, but it was blowing in the wrong direction. It was coming toward us. And God made the winds to cease. And I praise God for that. So how do we show that we trust God, that we believe in him? By doing his works, by praying. And I have one more thing here. Why is it that we... how we show our trust in God. And I'm going to go back to the Bible here. John 14. There's a promise. But before I do that, I'm going to show you some really important slides here. Review and Herald. Enduring faith has been dying away. It must be revived in the hearts of God's people. They must claim the blessing. Faith, living faith, always leads upward to God and glory. Unbelief, where does it lead to, brothers and sisters? Downward to what? To darkness and death. Must we believe? We must believe if we want to go up to God and we want to receive what he has in store for us. A battle is continually going on between the forces for good and the forces for evil, between the angels of God and the fallen angels. Do we experience that today? We do. We are beset before and behind, on the right hand and on the left. The conflict that we are passing through is the last we shall have in this world. We are now in the midst of it. Two parties are striving for the supremacy. In this conflict, we cannot be neutral. We must stand either on one side or on the other. If we take our position on the side of Christ, if we acknowledge him before the world in word and work, we are bearing a living testimony as to whom we have chosen to serve and honor. In this important period of Earth's history, we cannot afford to leave anyone in uncertainty as to whose side we are on. Amen? We can't. People will know that we are followers of Jesus because of the fruits that we produce. Amen? And we understand that these fruits are not our fruits, brothers and sisters. They come from whom? From God. Because we know that nothing good is in our heart. We know that. Nobody has to tell us that. But praise God, he has promised us his Holy Spirit for these last days. Amen? His Holy Spirit. To help us do the things that he wants us to do. Verse 15 tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Somebody who trusts God and trusts Jesus keeps his commandments. And again, I reiterate, can we do this on our own strength? Can I, Samuel Nunez, keep God's commandments on my own strength? I can't. I need help from above. But praise God, he has promised us his help. Someone who believes, trusts God. Amen? Prays, does the works that he does, keeps his commandments, keeps his word. And Jesus says to his disciples, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you sometimes. Is that the type of help that we're getting? You know, sometimes. This Holy Spirit is pretty busy these days, so you can expect him maybe on this day. No. God says, I will send you a helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I want to share this other quote. The Holy Spirit was promised to be with those who were wrestling for victory, demonstrating the power of might by endowing the human agent with supernatural strength and instructing the ignorant in the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is to be what, our brothers and sisters? Our helper. And then this, all of what avail would it have been to us that the only begotten Son of God had humbled himself, endured the temptations of the wily foe, and wrestled with him during his entire life on earth, and died the just for the unjust, that humanity might not perish if the Spirit had not been given as a constant working, regenerating agent to make effectual in our cases what had been wrought by the world's Redeemer. Wouldn't it be a shame that after Jesus sacrificing so much, did he sacrifice a lot? He gave it all. He gave it all. He gave the praise of angels. I don't know what that must be like, but I think that must be cool. Yes? Thousands and millions of angels surrounding him and saying, holy, holy, holy. A world with no death, with no pain, with no suffering. And he gave it all up to come to this little tiny world to serve us, to die for us. Did we deserve it? I didn't deserve that, but he did. And not only did he die for me and for you, but he said, I'm going to send you a helper because you won't be able to do this on your own. You're going to need supernatural strength because you're going to be fighting a supernatural being called Satan. And you can't do this on your own. I like the promise that Jesus gives his disciples to you and to me. Also, those of us that live in these times. And if you have your Bibles, please go to John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Are Jesus' words important to us today? Amen. And he's sending us his Holy Spirit to remind us. And verse 27 says, peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Trusting Jesus will bring as a result peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. People will come up to you and say, why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you sad? Why aren't you discouraged? Look at all the things people are doing to you. Look at what your friends are saying about you. Look at, you have nothing. And we can say, hey, I have peace. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. And he promised me. And he also promises you. And he keeps his word. Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Amen.